show, and away we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Mo, I'm. Hey, yo.
Excellent, excellent. Well, how you doing today, Mo?
I'm pissed off at the world, and it's largely because of wrestling. So let's talk about it.
Let us talk about that. So what we want to talk about first off, and the fact that you're just pissed off at it, is all fuck right now.
Is that the expression?
Pissed off is all fuck.
Yeah.
Gunner, the TV champion. Go.
And no, more disappointing is that Murphy kicked out of the Immortal, you know. And Rob Terry.
Really? And Rob? Oh, right, yeah.
Because anyway. Hogan is watching them on the monitor going, God, these guys suck. I'm done with them.
Yes.
That's good.
That's true. That's true. Yes. Fuck. So, as we all know by now, main topic of the week, big topic, big story of the week, Christian.
What?
Christian.
What happened?
And also Roman Catholics.
Ah.
You know, just because Easter just passed. No. Christian, yeah, something happened with Christian. His two-day shoot reign, his five-day work reign as the world heavyweight champion. Do you know anything about it, and B, do you have any thoughts about it?
Well, I didn't know anything about it, actually. Okay. He was the champion. Who knew?
Oh, you didn't know?
It must have lasted.
That was
okay, here's what we're going to do about Christian. When it first happened, you emailed or texted me.
I did.
You're like, you know, he's going to have a match against Orton. This is not good.
No,
and
that's
you
right.
Know, you know, and then later on, yeah, he lost the title to Orton, and I was pissed. I was like, you know what, that's it. I'm so pissed off. They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But as time has gone on here, I don't feel as bad on it as I did, and I actually think it might lead into an interesting storyline. And at first, I thought they're just getting the belt off of him because it looked like, hey, you know what, Vince McMahon going, we can't have this guy as our champion, pal. You know, but now I think it's kind of like, okay, you know what, there might be something, because on Sunday, you know, he wins the title, the thrill of victory, and
right.
A Friday night, the agony of defeat.
Yes, no, that's not a tired cliche spout out by people who were relevant in 1989 at all.
No. And Wayne Keller.
Oh.
Anyways, what are you going to say about it? Why don't you go off on it, and I'll respond to what you are.
Well,
I think
Christian,
you're a little more upset at this point than I am, I think.
I don't know that I am, to be honest. And anybody that's read my blog at wetalkwrestling.blogspot.com, cheap plug, the five stages of grieving Christian. I really did that when I was, you know, when we were texting back and forth.
And you were on Twitter that night just going, they don't want
Twitter.
Me as a fan.
And, well, and it was.
And you were drinking wine, which explains why your Twitter responses were moron.
I was drinking red wine, yeah.
Yeah,
and I was crying.
You're crying.
About it, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, no, Kevin Nash. I was sitting there and you know, I read the spoilers. And I mean, when you read the spoilers, all you hear is, you know, of course, Christian won the title. And you're going, well, gee, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Really, right? I mean, oh, that was awesome. Like, way to give that to him for two fucking days. Like,
yeah.
Not, you know. So, and then, but, I mean, so the next morning, I think, is when I woke up and I just kind of came to that sort of sad realization that WWE doesn't want me as a fan anymore. And that kind of brings me to my
main... The only one. There was a lot.
Oh, there were. There was a lot of internet people, which I don't know, again, how much that is of the overall public. I think it's more than WWE thinks it is. But it's not the casual. The casual is, you know, when Orton won the belt, it's Randy Orton, right? Oh, that's great. I mean, not that they hated Christian, but Randy Orton, they don't have a problem with it. It's the people that are buying the pay-per-views, the people that will, you know, follow them on Twitter, buy their T-shirt on WWE Shop, and like them on Facebook, right? These are the people that actually care enough to spend money that were more, most of them, can't speak for everybody. The majority I found that were tweeting me, emailing us at wetalkwrestling.aim.com, were talking more about how, you know, it's the same old with Orton. Not that it's they hated Orton as a champion or as a wrestler or as a person. It was just more that we want to try something new.
Yeah, and want something fresh.
And that was the thing. And that brings me to sort of what I was looking at is essentially – with Christian, it was someone that the fans kind of propelled to the top.
Yeah.
versus Randy.
There's not a lot of those guys left who the fans have a connection to because they've watched their journey for a long, long time,
mm-hmm.
and they feel something with them. You had the Eddie Guerrero, and you know you, this type of thing.
You had the Chris Benoit. I mean, despite what he did later, at the time,
oh, yeah.
Chris Benoit.
Yeah, yeah.
You had Edge, for God's sakes.
Yeah, Edge. You had
Bret Hart.
Bret Hart. You had Shawn Michaels even to some degree.
Yes.
You know? And even Steve Austin didn't get the title on his first opportunity. He faced Undertaker in a match, you know, and didn't win the title right away.
And cold day in hell.
So, I mean, it was a long journey before he actually technically got the belt.
It was.
And that's kind of been taken away from the fans. And so that person you connect with, that person that as a fan that you know is in wrestling, if you're a hardcore fan, you're in wrestling, and this person is in wrestling because they love it, mm-hmm. and you know they're good and underappreciated, and you have that connection to, mm-hmm. there's not many of those guys left. Christian might really, in many ways, be the last one.
Well, no, there's always going to be people.
Well, who's coming up who's like that?
Okay,
no, that's...
There's always going to be
that
guy,
If Daniel Bryan's there for 5 years, puts on great matches, but never gets the world title, he'll be that guy. But they're a long way from having somebody who's that guy now. Christian
That hasn't won the title. As I said, I mean, but there always will kind of be that guy that's going to be around for a long time. Off the top of my head, honestly, at this point, I can't think of anybody.
No, that's the thing.
There will be again.
There will be somebody will there emerge will be eventually. But I think that as time goes on, and you get the amount of title changes and the amount of and reigns, mm-hmm. the importance of it and that moment meaning something is always going to lessen and lessen. And that's what made this Christian one so special, is it wasn't lessened.
Well,
it was a big moment. When you were watching it, you felt good for him, and you know it felt important for him.
It wasn't manufactured.
That's the thing.
And that's the thing. Versus Randy Orton, and that's what I wrote down here. That's what the fans wanted versus Randy Orton. It's just what Vince wanted. And manufactured is probably the best word. Is that Christian was not manufactured at all. Where Orton just seems like, you know, it's business as usual. It's the corporate machine rolling along with Orton as its figurehead.
Let's put it this way. You're talking about Orton, but... on the pay-per-view, John Cena won the title, and he mentioned in a promo on there, it's been 10 long months. And that's supposed to seem like something and make us feel for him as a fan. Jesus, 10 months without the title.
10 months, wow, eh?
But it didn't. I just went, he got it again for his 10th reign.
Yeah.
He's been in all the main events, even if he didn't win it. He's constantly featured. He's had it 10 times. You know what? That moment didn't have it. There was nothing special about that moment.
Well, liken that back to... the he who shall not be named, Benoit, when he was a champion, and he's going into pay-per-views defending the title against Kane, when Raw is actually revolving around Triple H and Eugene, right?
Well, and Shawn Michaels, and...
I don't think, well, even then, but it was...
Yeah.
But Triple H and Eugene really was the Raw main event, even though Benoit happened to have the title, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
same idea,
against Orton,
right?
But yeah, Triple H was against Eugene because it was Triple H.
Same idea here. So, I mean, that's... To me, is where I sit now is again, I'm not, and we watched SmackDown, we just actually finished watching SmackDown before we recorded this, and, you know, the way that it played out and the aftermath and everything is that it does look like they at least have a plan for Christian.
Yeah, and it's going to be a main event plan or upper.
Well,
it's going to be up there.
It'll be
a feature plan. It's not like he's going to get pushed back down to the mid card. It looks like the question is, I almost think that the way I was watching was essentially what happened was he goes out there, he has the belt for a couple minutes. He has a bunch of people come out there and challenge him, including mm-hmm. Mark Henry, who asked for a challenger.
Yeah.
And I just want to say it was strange. Mark Henry wasn't playing a monster Mark Henry. He was more like an arrogant, cocky heel.
He really was.
But you know, Christian said, you do realize this title's made out of gold, not chocolate, right?
That's right.
Line of the night.
And then SmackDown's greatest worker comes down.
Yeah, Great Khali.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he has a lot to teach Christian, so he wants a match with him.
That's the thing, right? That's the reason.
Great Khali, though, also has a storyline you could see building here.
Because of this, though.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, keep going.
Anyway, so we'll get to Khali in a second if we have time.
Do we? Wow.
But the Christian is, Khali is mid-card to Christian right now anyways.
Yeah.
But Christian, so he comes out there and Orton comes out, gets the title.
Mm-hmm.
They opened the show with video package about Chris, you're talking about how he's always wanted this, how he's always dreamed of it. An announcer's talking about how he's always dreamed of being a champion.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes out there, he has a really good TV match against Orton.
That's what it was, yeah, good TV match.
Yeah, really good TV match, probably three and a half stars, somewhere in that range, right? A good TV match.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the match is over, Orton leaves. And so Orton's not the one in the ring celebrating going off the air.
Yeah, the new champion really isn't the focal point. It's not that Orton is the champion. It's that Christian isn't the champion was the focal point of the match, right?
So I mean, when I first heard about it, I thought, okay, Orton wins the title. Christian gets out of the ring. They focus on Orton and put him over as the face of the company. But it didn't go that way. So I don't really have as much of a problem with this. It was more like they left it open. Are the fans going to feel sorry for this guy because he dreamt of it his whole life and he never really got to
savor the moment?
Yeah. Or is he gonna go heel because he's gonna be pissed and desperate? And they kind of left it open. Mm-hmm. and they sowed the seeds so that if the crowd gets behind him, they could push him as a top babyface. But if they want to, they could also push the jealousy topic and a slow build, a mm-hmm. savage Hogan.
Horton.
Horton, here's a who?
Jim Neidhart's going to be involved?
Yes, he is.
Excellent.
But yes, you can kind of see that slow build to a turn for Christian now.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what, I think he's not being pushed out of the mid.
Well, you keep saying that. That's the point I wanted to make, is you can't push him. They can't fucking even possibly push him down the mid-card. There is no fucking mid-card. You go basically, you go Orton, Christian, Kane, Daniel Bryan, fucking Trent Beretta.
That's, well, you know, you talked about
Sin Cara. Sorry, I forgot about Sin Cara. But, I mean, fuck this old...
I mean,
they can't afford... I mean, if they turn him heel, great, but if they came back... And that's the advantage right now that Christian has, is that they got absolutely zero roster depth, and they almost have to keep him a babyface. And that was the part that I kind of had a problem with this, because it is starting to plant the seeds for him to go heel, to have lust in his eyes, and the mega powers explode. No, it doesn't have to be, but it gave that impression.
The crowd gets behind him. It doesn't have to go that way.
It gave that impression, though, to me, and it looked like they were going to... And as I said, I mean, if they held it off to WrestleMania, that's fine. If they're on this new big kick, thanks to the Cena Rock one-year-out build, if they want to say, this is what we're going to do this year and see what happens, if they're on a kick, and I don't know that they are, I don't know that they aren't, that they're going to lay out 1 year away from now storylines and know that Christian's going to fight Randy Orton at WrestleMania 29, I don't know. But you seem to think they're going to be...
Well,
and I don't blame you, because it's the past that they've been guilty of, is that this could be a SummerSlam situation, which
I think
is,
it's going to be a SummerSlam match.
Which is, quite frankly, long-term for what they've been doing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with it being a SummerSlam match. That is longer-term than what they've been doing.
Right.
But I'll tell you this, while you're saying we don't know if they're doing these one-year plans, and we don't, I do know Vince McMahon cannot decide when he wakes up in the morning and mm-hmm. he puts his underwear on, he's not sure if that's the best underwear to wear that day. So mm-hmm. he might change it 50 times.
I was going to say socks, but okay.
Well, yeah.
But I understand what you're saying. The thing to me is, though, is that if you do pull the trigger and turn him heel as early as SummerSlam, right, then you're left...
You can have them face each other, not even turn them heel there yet.
I guess.
You know, it can be part of the...
Better fucking get some goddamn fucking baby faces on that show then, because what you're doing then is, outside of Kane, if you turn Christian, you're looking at Daniel Bryan and Sin Cara as your, you know, your third and fourth level baby faces there, which... Sorry, you know, no all due respect to those two, and I think that they're, you know, Bryan, I see long term, right? But
you talked about your blog. I'm just going to mention mine. I talked about a fan's perspective on the WWE roster, and part of what I did was I tried to turn people. Mm-hmm. I did it more for the SmackDown when it needed more work,
yeah.
And trying to elevate some people and turn some people and such. And I mean, I see. I was hoping that, you know, I mean, I'd like to see Sheamus as a face. I'd like to see, Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see Daniel Bryan and William Regal up at the top of the card on the heel side together.
I honestly had no idea that a cigarette had an opinion one way or another when you wrote that column, though.
Yeah, a cigarette?
Yeah. A fag's perspective? Is that what you wrote, Ryan?
No.
Oh.
No, that was the response, the Twitter response I got from Michael Cole.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's what he called you.
Yeah, that's right.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so that's Christian.
That's
you know, Christian won the title, lost the title. A lot of outrage. Said we felt it along with the rest of the internet community. But again, I think.
But I didn't publicly say anything. I kind of waited. I waited to see it.
Oh no! Wait.
No, you did. Yeah, that's the thing. Kind of waited to see how they went with it. But I was really that night. I was just.
Mm-hmm.
I was pissed, and then I was just depressed.
Well, you were depressed. I was depressed. I mean, I wanted to do a show with you that night. I wanted to come over into the studio and do a show because
I was like, it won't be any good. Because
you were just so mad, and I had kind of almost accepted it at that point.
Yeah.
And that's when I tweeted or texted you that I was two stages ahead of you, and you're like, what? Because you hadn't read my blog yet, because I posted it.
Yeah.
But I'd accepted it, and so I thought it would be a great show with you being really mad and me just like egging you on.
Yeah,
which actually would have been. But
that's every show anyway. So.
That it is. What are you talking about?
It's going to be.
No,
it's going to be. Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
No?
No.
Okay, good. Anyways, it's going to. I'm not feeling too bad for Christian. I wish he could have had a longer reign, but the truth is that we're probably going to see him in a future in a prominent spot, in a good spot, and something interesting happening with the guy.
Hopefully.
And you know what? He has the talent. He has the charisma. He has a following.
Well, he's Captain Charisma.
The instant classic.
Mm-hmm.
But. You know, actually, you know what? Do we want to do this on this show? Because a lot of people have been talking about, or do you want to do this on another show? A lot of people have talked about how he can't be world champion on SmackDown because he proved he can't hold the title and be a good champion in TNA. And a lot of people seem to have that opinion that he blew it. And I've always said it was the booking.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that now?
Let's do that now. Let's
this is going to take a while. Let's go ahead and
slam this out there, and then we're on the topic of Christian. Let's keep it rolling with Christian Cage. I have another lighter topic but a more feel good topic we can follow up with this after. So let's talk about the booking of Christian Cage. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
In TNA, a lot of people. What you're saying
was basically analyze his entire run within TNA. Go through it.
Right. So
see why it failed or succeeded, and see who the blame lies on. Let's open with how he began. Go ahead.
What you're saying?
Was that Great Khali's?
Hmm?
Was that Great Khali's?
No, that was Eugene's.
Oh, okay.
What you were saying is that people are saying that Christian can't take the World Heavyweight Championship ball and be successful with it because of his World Heavyweight Championship win in TNA. That they're holding that up as the example, going, see.
And you're one of them. You're the one of the ones who said he showed he couldn't do it. And I've been the one who's always said, I think he was booked poorly. So, let's break it down.
And
talk about him. Christian shows up. Let's talk about how he left WWE and why at the time. Let's start there.
Well, Christian, okay, so that what you really have to do for Christian, you're putting me on the spot here, and I've got to remember, and I've been drinking, is that you have to go back to, is it Backlash?
Backlash?
I don't remember the pay-per-view.
It
anyway,
doesn't matter. The pay-per-view is not really a point.
What's happening is that Christian is challenging John Cena, getting over on John Cena.
Well, what's happening is you have an upcoming draft, and you have John Cena still on SmackDown at the time. Batista still the heavyweight champion.
Raw was here in Calgary, actually, while Christian was out there doing one of his promos at the peak here in the 2005, and I believe the main event involved Batista versus Muhammad Hassan at that show.
Yeah.
It was Memorial Day weekend in the U.S., May of 2005. Yeah, so I have a show in Canada, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, the point
it's like
is...
TNA the other night has Impact on, and they're doing a house show running head-to-head with
them. Oh, yeah. Well, that's worse.
Morons.
Yes.
But anyways...
What happens is Christian's been trash-talking John Cena, angling for a match with John Cena, wanting a match with John
Cena.
Even
before John Cena switched spots.
Yeah, and then he switched spots, and it becomes a three-way with Christian. Anyway, at that point, Christian's never been hotter. And then he never really recovers...
Well, his character kind of grows up in the fact that he's always a comedy character. Now he's a little more serious and a little bit more of a trash talker. He was still entertaining.
He had the peep show.
Yeah, he had the peep show. He was very entertaining, but he wasn't a comedy character really portraying himself. You know, his hair was cut, and he was just
But that's where he peaked essentially there, and then it realized that he was never going to get a shot because Vince doesn't see him as a star. So his contract runs out.
When he realized that, I believe is there's a show in Toronto. He gets a massive face reaction. He was getting a big reaction everywhere. He was over, and the Mexicools came out and beat the shit out of him.
That's right.
But I think that was kind of it. That's when he decided to leave. And this was at the time TNA was just about to debut on Spike, And we had never really seen a current roster star, Jeff Hardy being fired and going over to TNA being a different thing. We never seen somebody who you would have said was a current roster star and was a hot star, up-and-coming guy at that point, leave to go to the TNA. It was almost the first shot that hey, maybe there is actually a competition in a second company worth anything.
Well, with TNA, though, at the time...
Because it was new.
It was a little bit new.
We've seen it a million times since.
They had done the Samoa Joe over the summer.
Yep.
It was a really hot character. Yeah, Daniel. This was even in their dark days. The dark stuff on the internet is actually probably the best booking they've actually done. Just nobody saw it.
Yeah, exactly. But Scott D'Amore.
Yeah, and the Dudleys also coming over at this point. So this is a point where
Dudleys were fired. Again, Dudleys didn't leave voluntarily. Dudleys were fired. Dudleys were let go because they were in developmental for a while. They were brought back for Extreme Rules, and then were told we have nothing for you. Okay, so that's a different thing.
Well, it doesn't matter. They went to TNA.
I know.
And all I'm saying is that we're talking about Christian, and yes, but it's an influx of guys, right?
Yeah.
And that was the fall. I want to say it's like October, November of 2005, and Christian comes in immediately, starts feuding with Jeff Jarrett.
Well, basically, actually, okay.
Well, it's Monty Brown, I think, at one point, too.
Actually, yeah. Well, yeah, okay. What he does is he comes in and he debuts on the pay-per-view. He just basically comes out and makes a shot. And then the next pay-per-view, I think that's where he teamed with the debuting Sting.
That's the thing.
Because I do remember...
Is it Christian? Yes. And Christian, that's the thing. Is Christian came in, I want to say, in October, November. He did a thing. That December pay-per-view, I remember, because that's one of the few TNA pay-per-views that I've ever ordered. Because that had a... I believe it was an AJ versus Samoa Joe match, or it may have been a three-way. There was a great... Anyways, great X Division match. Bobby Heenan was on commentary for the Base Brawl match with the Diamonds in the Rough against, like, Dale Torborg and someone.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
But I'd got Bobby Heenan was fucking on the thing, right? So Christian fought Monty Brown on that show.
I think Ryan, you're right, yeah.
Sabu versus Abyss was just a bloody
barbed wire match.
Right?
Oh. Okay, that was a brutal match.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, and at the same time, you're having the funeral for the Dudley boys.
That was on
put
TV,
on,
though.
It was on TV, but that was the same era, is all I'm saying. It's the same time frame. But anyway, so Christian there, the new big, ready-to-breakout star. Everybody, I don't know if everybody,
myself. He was a heel in WWE. He came in and was immediately facing
But I'm talking to this, and I'm sitting there thinking, this is a lot along the lines of like a Mick Foley or a Steve Austin in 1996 leaving WCW because they don't have anything for him or don't think he's a star, and
absolutely,
being given a shot at some at WWF, who's behind in the ratings, behind in popularity, right? So they're going to give him a shot. So they're going to give Christian a shot in TNA, and they did. But then immediately, like I said, like 2-3 months later, all of a sudden it's they do the big New Year's Eve thing with Sting.
That was it.
And
yeah,
now Sting's in. So now the spotlight is all on Sting.
That's
and
right.
Christian is this guy, well, thanks for coming, try the veal, have a seat, your waitress will be with you shortly.
See, that's the thing. And then they had Christian challenge Jeff Jarrett for the title, where he came out and made fun of Jeff Jarrett wearing white jeans.
Waitress, by the way, was Dixie Carter, fucked up the order. Anyway,
yeah.
Continue.
Yeah, but and that's the but now you're giving – so Christian came in and was at his hottest, and they didn't right away give him a title match. You're right. He went against Monty Brown.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden Sting came in, and he stole the limelight, but then you decided to give Christian the title match, and then it didn't do as good as they had hoped. But all this, is this now Christian's fault, or is this the way you portrayed Sting and him compared to each other? And so, you know, you've already started to take your property and your booking. You've already kind of played it down. So plus you also had Jeff Jarrett, who was the champion, who was not hot as a champion and had already lost that title and won it back and over previous months to Raven and to Rhino.
Yeah.
And over the last couple months.
Well, I don't know Rhino, but Raven.
He did lose it to Rhino, too. Remember
the title?
Rhino?
I don't think Rhino was ever the champion.
Yes, he
no.
was. Yeah, he won a gauntlet. Yeah, he did. No, he won a gauntlet.
A gauntlet?
Yeah, he won a gauntlet match. He competed. He competed.
Wait a minute.
I believe against. Yeah.
He couldn't have because a gauntlet match was new, a new concept on Raw. Like
2 weeks ago. You're
two weeks ago. So
that's right. No, so
let's get your history straight here.
Rhino won it because he won a gauntlet match, and he had also competed in the same match that night, and then beat Jeff Jarrett. They made it.
Wasn't that the one where it was supposed to be Kevin Nash? It wasn't a gauntlet match. No, it wasn't a gauntlet match.
Yeah, I believe it was.
Well, it was their Royal Rumble.
It was their Royal Rumble.
What do they call that?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. But anyway.
But the point being, you're right. He replaced Kevin Nash, who was going to be anyways, he gets the title. But
Kevin Nash
was going to
lose.
Jeff Jarrett had been losing the title to people, so Christian beating him didn't mean that much. And then you followed up Christian winning the title with, I think he did face Monty Brown again, but he also went immediately into a terrible feud immediately against Abyss. And the problem was that this feud was Christian now is a world champion. When Christian won the belt, he's celebrating in the crowd, and his wife was there, and you built this all up, but he didn't have that connection with that particular crowd, and his wife we had never seen on TV before. So all this felt really phony. And so now he's a babyface champion who's starting to feel phony. And then he faces Abyss, and instead of making it about the title, what they did was they had Abyss stalking his wife, DDP Undertaker-like.
Yeah.
And that did not get over, and it was stupid. It took the focus off Christian, took the focus off the belt, and it gave him an opponent. Abyss was a dangerous monster, but not seen as a world title contender.
Well, the other thing I think it did is that what happened, and I know it's wrestling or it's entertainment or whatever the fuck you call it this week, but
I call it wrestling everywhere.
Yeah, wrestling. But when you had Christian, who was there since 1998 in the WWF, WWE, and he's ready to break out in 2005, so he's been there for 7 years at this point, and he's ready to break out. He's been there 7-8 years, and we've watched him. You know, we've watched him win be Taka Michinoku. We've won him with TLCs. We've watched him Intercontinental. Like, you know, all the things. And we've watched this. But then when you go to TNA, yes, it's still wrestling, but it's a different company. And it's a little bit different, and it's not quite the same as someone going from WCW to WWF or NWA to WWF and back and forth, but it's as close as we got.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we've got this guy who's on the cusp in WWF of really kind of breaking the glass ceiling, and maybe not winning the title, but getting a chance to perform and be in that main event mix, and that getting squashed, to then he goes to TNA, and really, he's there for 6 months, maybe? Maybe 6 months if he debuted in October, and he's winning the title
in February, March.
Yeah, four months.
Yeah.
And there's no chase there. There's no involvement there. There's no reason there.
Well, another thing is some people in the company are going, oh, we can't have this guy who's a mid-carder come in and win our world title.
Right.
Because it makes our company look bad. And other people are going,
we have all these never-was's that could win the title.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's do that.
Yeah, so, I mean, he did not get off to a good start. Plus, he was a heel character in the WWE, and that was what was hot. And he kind of stayed the same character, but it wasn't. It couldn't just translate immediately into being a face. It needed to because he was kind of a sarcastic.
See, the
heel.
Thing though
it
is,
it didn't get over as a the face. The character he didn't really know
that's
how
true.
To make it a face.
How to
character.
Face-ize it? Yeah, that's true, and that's what he's learned to do, and that's what he's done now.
Yeah,
but back then they just. Because basically what happened is he was going to get a monster pop.
He's trying too hard to be cool and funny.
He was, yeah. He was going to get a monster pop, though, for jumping ship.
Yeah.
Right? And they heard that, and they thought, oh, well, let's ride this. And they figured it would always be the same because, well, they're stupid.
Well, that's
and
the other
I do
thing,
remember
yeah.
the one promo he did where he was making fun of Jeff Jarrett's white jeans,
which was really funny. Yeah,
funny. But
I remember he would call Borash Seacrest and go say Seacrest out.
Right.
Stuff like that.
No money, though. No money.
And the other thing that happened was he didn't – he's facing Abyss. He's facing Monty Brown. But you know what? They weren't seen as the best workers in the face of the company. AJ Styles
was Monty Brown was, though. Best worker ever.
Oh, yeah.
Since Zeke. And Ahmed Johnson.
Bob Sapp. So you got
what a group that would be.
So you got to have you got. Yeah. Would that be the new Nation of Domination?
That would be
Nation of Suckation. But anyways,
yeah, keep going because that was awful.
That was awful. Even I kind of paused, going, "Fuck it, what?
Why did I say that?"
Yeah, no, that was Vince Russo. Written.
Seriously, that you should. You also had the BA News sign over you when you did that. Anyway,
anyways, so you got. It would have been one thing if he came in and he beat the guys who were kind of seen as the top guys in the company at the time. If he had beaten AJ Styles, if he had beaten, he beat Jeff Jarrett, but you know what? Even that was kind of like a bullshit one night thing. You didn't go over strong on Jarrett the way he needed to. You didn't go over, one thing, if he couldn't beat Samoa Joe at the time, that's the guy you had to protect. But you could have had him beat Sabu, who was there. You could have had him get a lot of high profile wins to prove how good he was,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't do that. Instead, like I say, you got focused off on our sports entertainment storyline with Abyss, and then you got Monty Brown, and he couldn't really carry Monty Brown. And of course, also right about the time that he jumped ship, Eddie Guerrero died, and that also kind of just put a strange feeling on the on the wrestling
really
industry
was,
at the time. So you also had that. So okay, let's go on. So he's a champion. He loses it to, I can't recall who he lost it to, but I believe it's Jeff Jarrett. Because it was odds are. But
then
he turned
heel,
he
turned on
Sting,
and it was just stupid.
Well, the thing was, when he started to get, like, he turned on Sting, and it was stupid because it didn't make any sense. But then he kind of got, he started to
build this
little
Vince Russo book something, and it didn't make sense?
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
Huh.
But you kind of got a little bit of a group with him, AJ Styles, and Tomko. And that kind of started to take off. But again,
let's be honest here, though, that started to take off, and that was like similar. And this again, when you talk about TNA,
talk about the group.
It's AJ, Tomko, and Christian. And the basic thing is that similar to Tomko in WWF, is that Tomko was basically the bodyguard, the straight man, the guy that stood behind the tough guy, behind Christian, Diesel to Christian Shawn Michaels, if not that I want to compare Christian to Shawn Michaels, but that dynamic. And the Tyson Kidd to Jackson Andrews, if you will.
Yes.
But then you had AJ, and AJ was this guy just kissing Christian's ass.
Basically, that was
for
his gimmick.
Christian's attention.
And it was hilarious, and it was the first time I was going, why did they turn AJ heel? But when they did, and he was doing this, he started to get this character that's probably the most interesting character he ever had, because he was this kiss-ass character, and you're going, you shouldn't be doing this with this talented guy. But on the other hand, he did it really well. And
it's like Kurt Angle when he was doing like the abstinence and like the yippee-ki-yay. It's like, you know, this is fucking Kurt Angle, Olympic gold medalist ass kicker, but he's so fucking funny.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And AJ really was really good at
it.
And so you had this, you had Christian, who was like the leader of the group, who AJ kissing his ass, Christian loving the fact that this guy's kissing his ass, but also kind of blowing him off. And then Tomko kind of rolling his eyes at both of these two morons that he's
with.
That's
right.
And you're getting Tomko over, you're getting AJ over.
Well,
and
here,
Christian,
okay,
you're getting him
so
over.
This
but
is,
they didn't keep the group together long.
This is where I'm going with this. And this is about the same time. And as I said, this is your difference. And this is why WWE is where they are and where TNA is where they are. This is not to say this is the only reason, but this is just a shining example of what WWE does where TNA is just shit.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Is that you had Evolution.
Yeah.
In WWE, and you had this, I don't even remember what they were called, if they had a group.
I'm not even sure they had a group.
The three of them anyway, because it became like Team Angle or something after, but because AJ and Tomko ended up going with Kurt Angle and turning on Christian. Anyway, Christian Coalition, maybe they were?
That's what they were. Yeah, the Christian Coalition.
Anyway, what you had there is that AJ being the kiss ass, as you said, Christian liking it, and Tomko always rolling his eyes. Tomko was getting over as this huge baby face because
almost like Batista.
Yes, in Evolution.
Yeah.
And fucking WWE recognized this because they had it earmarked for Randy Orton because that was the guy. Gee, sound familiar, Christian versus Randy Orton? But the fans wanted Batista because of the way that the storyline played out, and so they turned it and rolled
louder. Holy fuck, you blew my ears out.
Good. Well, I blew your mom earlier, but
you really?
Strap on. But but all they did in TNA,
folks, he's already thinking about how he wants to edit that out, and I'm not letting this one come out. Go ahead. Keep going.
But you don't let what come out. But with TNA, speaking of TNA, they decided to just drop the whole, I believe that Tomko. I think Tomko even got to beat Samoa Joe,
which was very
controversial at the time.
Yeah.
Which I, if they were going to continue to what they were doing, I didn't have a problem with. But of course they didn't. But and then of course they turned and they dropped the whole thing. Well, WWF went on and got Batista to turn fucking babyface on Triple H and had a fucking hell of a feud.
Yeah.
That's really what we're looking at the difference. So now continue on with Christian's career in TNA, because quite frankly, at this particular point, it really kind of as soon as Kurt Angle kind of comes into the picture,
Russo starts booking, that makes it difficult to remember anything.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you a couple things. There was a couple. He went basically out of this after turning heel. He went into a long term feud immediately coming out of it with Rhino. And he and Rhino had it culminated in and it went on forever, and it was the idea that Rhino was going, hey, we've been friends forever, what are you doing, well, you're being such an asshole now, you know, because he had turned heel.
Yes.
It basically
they talked about how they were
fucking friends on the death tours and shit, right? And it culminated in one of the worst great matches I've ever seen, and that was in Detroit.
Right.
Bound for Glory, they had the 8 Mile street fight, kind of playing off that movie, and it was Christian and a street fight versus Rhino, and when I say it was a great match, it was this match with all these great spots and all these great high drama kickouts that had no psychology in any way. The psychology is the worst I've ever seen in a Christian match. You had Christian being pile driven through a table
to
outside the ring to a 2 count, and that's an angle that should put somebody out for 6 months.
Right.
Right? And that's like in the middle of the match. That's not even near the end.
Well,
near the
end. And the whole story, if I remember correctly, with that match is that Rhino couldn't get his hands on him because Christian was more than a foot away.
The T-Rex of wrestling, Rhino.
Yes, well, Outback Jack and Rhino should have a match then.
Well, they should, but, well, Rhino wouldn't have a chance.
That's true.
So you had this. But anyways, coming out of that, Christian got another world title reign. As a heel now,
mm-hmm.
And this time he gets the belt, and I believe he immediately his first pay per view of defense was against Kurt Angle, and you're like, oh fuck, okay, so he's a transitional champion for Kurt Angle, babyface, Kurt Angle's first title shot.
Who's a transitional champion?
Christian.
Really?
Not 2 days.
Oh,
not that transitional.
Yeah, not my dog spot.
No. Okay. No. But so anyways, you get him against Angle, and he surprisingly beats Angle. I believe it was a roll up, and then he holds the ropes for leverage to get the win,
or something like that.
Yes, you know,
yes, indeed.
But it's a heel type of win and a good match. And you're going, oh, that's a huge surprise, because Angle had just debuted and was coming off of his feud with Samoa Joe. Their three way match. So then you got Samoa Joe
getting three matches.
So then you got Samoa Joe taking on Christian. You're like, oh, okay, so the reason they didn't have Angle win it was so they could have Joe win it, so they had set up Joe versus Christian.
Yeah.
And then instead, I believe he beat Joe in the same type of manner, cheating.
Tomko beat Joe,
but Christian did as well. But Christian holds on to the title as in, and you're going,
right.
Okay, this is strange that you had your two hottest characters and the two characters you thought would beat Christian, they didn't.
So when did Christian leave TNA?
Okay, well, hold on. Okay, so now I'm sitting there going, this is getting a lot of momentum. Because what it was at the time was Christian was, he was getting a lot of momentum as the world champion, as the heel champion. He was the honky-tonk man now. He was the guy who was facing people that everyone assumed was going to beat him, that everyone just assumed was going to get the title from him. And I'm like, okay, now this is going to work. Now don't turn this off right away. Don't go away from this. Give him a really, really long title reign against people who are assuming every month he's going to lose, and every month he manages to hold on. And if you do that for 8 months, 10 months, 12, 15 months, you know, whatever it is, you make it long term. When you finally get a guy who beats him, it's fucking huge. It's a big deal. And it was starting to get that. He could have been the honky-tonk man with their title at the time. But instead, they went into like a 6. I believe that he lost it next month. I think it might even have been Jeff Jarrett who wins it again, or maybe Sting or
Sting,
Abyss.
I think
it was Sting.
I don't think it was Abyss.
Yeah, no, I believe it was Sting. I think it was in one of those mountain, what do you call it, King of the Mountain matches.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, so he loses it there. Then why did you have him go over Joe?
No.
And Joe and
I thought
Joe
Jeff
and
Jarrett
Angle.
Won the King of the Mountain and Christian turned heel.
maybe that was the year
smashing
before.
Smashing the, or the year before. They had all runs together.
The point is, though, that he lost it in, like, a multi-man match where he never really got pinned in some way. And that's, it's like, okay, now you had, every time you have something just starting to go with Christian, you guys change your mind and just move away from him. And then you don't give him anything for months. And then all of a sudden you put something, put some focus back on him, and he starts to get going, and then you take it away again.
So talk about Christian leaving TNA, because I don't actually remember.
Well, basically, Christian just, we were hearing rumors that he was upset with how he'd been booked within the company.
Wow, really?
And then he was looking to leave. And with I remember
TNA?
At the time, and oh. yeah, and I at the time was wondering, seems well, he's odd. Been a couple time world champion, and I wasn't really understanding it, but it was just basically they had no feuds for him, they had no plans for him. And he I think he was just frustrated that he was constantly getting the opportunity.
Well, I'd be frustrated
but never
too.
Getting, being told he's going to get the opportunity, looking like he's going to get it, but never truly getting it. So now let's kind of that's kind of his legacy within TNA. Now I've always said I don't blame him. Like sure, could he have done better? Yeah, and there was a couple things he did wrong. Like I say, that match against Rhino was a mistake. The not knowing how to be a face with that character at the beginning was a mistake.
I think that's the biggest mistake. Actually,
yeah, but I think the majority of this in saying that he can't hold a world championship and TNA is his example. Is not fair because I think they blew it with him. Because there was two or three times they had a chance, and they just didn't have the long-term plan or the fortitude to stick with what they were doing that was going to get over.
The intestinal fortitude?
The testicular fortitude.
Testicular fortitude. Yeah. Yes. Well, okay, no,
thanks for getting a couple more beers, by the way.
I did, yes. I did do that while you were rambling because, you know, you're pretty boring to hear. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, luckily then you didn't have to hear it, but you just left it for the you know, all the
for the millions.
Thousands of listeners.
The yes. millions.
The millions and millions.
Yes. Global phenomenon, I keep telling you. But
oh, have you heard
that's
Christian. My fan club disbanded.
Did they?
Yeah. He died.
Did he?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Anyways.
Herbert.
So do you think it's fair to say Christian cannot be world champion based on his TNA tenure?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. If you think so, go ahead.
No, I'm done. No, it's something that I hold it up to, yes, is shitty booking. To me, it's one of those things that sort of the cream of the crop rises to the top, and maybe that's what we're seeing now. Maybe that longevity is paying off for Christian, that this guy is finally going to get his due.
He's a better worker than he was when
of course
he left
he
or in TNA.
He's been doing the best work of his life in the last, you know, 2 years, let's say, 3 years,
not
whatever
the best
ECW.
Promos. The promos are good, but they're not as good as when he left. But his in-ring work has never been better.
Yeah, but he showed the ability to be able to do the promos. And the promo on SmackDown with him, you know, in being very heartfelt and sincere, and the fact that, again, when you talk about a business that's fake, it's the real stuff that tends to draw the most, the, you know, the screw jobs and the, you know, the live sex celebrations with Lita and things, that kind of stuff. And this is what it is that Edge really had to retire and his best friend is fucking ready to step up and got the belt and it means so fucking much to him. And you see, my big piss off with the fact that Randy Orton right now is your world fucking heavyweight champion is that it was SmackDown.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't have waited until whatever the next
but the
LOE
story
pay-per-view
line,
is
but,
here
yeah, I know
over
it's only
the
3 weeks. I know it's only 3 weeks, but the fact is that taking away from him after
Fuck, that's the other goddamn thing, is that you have fucking 3 weeks between fucking pay-per-views and you fucking need to change the fucking title on fucking free TV. Fuck you.
Which is a Twitter response you had to the WWE that
holy
got retweeted a whole bunch.
Shit! Like, fuck! Like, if you don't have another pay-per-view until, you know, July, sure, okay, maybe you change the fucking title because that's your goddamn fucking plan so you can have the fucking July pay-per-view with the fucking world title change, but fuck! You have a... We're recording
this is the most eloquent.
This is our May 8th show, and the pay-per-view is what, like May 21st or May 20th?
Yeah,
you know, like, what?
Yeah. That's right. So, anyways, I'm just gonna say this about it, though. I mean, I know it's only like 3 weeks away from the pay per view.
Two
so
now.
You could have done it. Yeah, two now. But the idea that Christian had it such a short time is what could propel his storyline forward.
Well, that's true.
So the fact that his first title defense is where he lost it, that's what could propel the storyline forward. So I don't have as much issue with that.
Well,
I will say this. A couple other notes about SmackDown. Just Cody Rhodes is great. I just want to get that in there.
Oh, Cody Rhodes with his – had the – he came on a suit. instead of the mask, right? Yeah, he still had the great promo. And the fact that he was able to, I think I was saying to you, he's a hybrid of Jake the Snake, Mankind, and who was the other person who wasn't a wrestler that I came out with? But it was great.
Yeah.
It was just great. And the fact that he was able to tie in the mist and just take that, he's him saying that he cared that he lost in the win column. There was a loss there in the record books, but he felt that he still had a moral victory because he exposed Rey Mysterio, because Rey Mysterio needed the miss to win.
Yeah, exactly.
So just great.
And it's such a heel move. It's a heel. He's getting
it's
over
a,
him. He's
it's
not,
a good heel move.
Yeah, it doesn't. He's not burying his opponent. But he's also lifting himself up and making you hate him even more as a heel because he's finding a logical nugget.
I am not a nugget, by
you're
the way.
You're not a nugget. No, you were born on the same birthday as Owen Hart.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Oh, will we? Okay. Yeah. All right. So, anyways, you were.
Boy, we were there yesterday, but still, go ahead.
Yeah. Yesterday was your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Really? What'd I get you?
Same thing you got me the year before.
Huh. Same thing I'm going to get you next year.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hopefully your mom doesn't give me the same thing again. It's still itchy.
Still itchy.
Still itchy.
Yeah. All right. Double up next time. Yes. I have no idea where I was going. No, but he found a nugget of truth within all his lies.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's great about
it. And the fact that he went to all his personal expense to get brown paper back.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
My own personal great expense.
I went to a lot of great expense.
To get these for you, crowd.
And he's like, get the paper bags.
But he says it completely serious. So awesome.
Oh, just deadpan, yeah. That was great. You had Tyson Kidd against Sin Cara with Chavo Guerrero. Doing
that's
commentary.
Nice. Somebody listened to our show, because this is what we talked about with Chavo.
Exactly,
actually, nobody. Well, anyways. But no, it was great. Hopefully, I'm
nobody
actually
listens
looking
to you on the show.
I'm looking forward. Well, I'm the one who fucking made the point. But, I'm looking forward to Chavo versus Sin Cara. And it's not an immediate heel turn for Chavo either, who's kind of being a babyface. So I like that, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's something behind it. He's on commentary. He's spouting a bunch of bullshit, but he's trying to do it like he's sincere. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's
well, no, I don't know that he was trying to do it like sincere. He did come off as a heel saying, I invented all this shit, and he's just
exactly,
a copycat. He's a thief. He called him a thief, for God's sake. That's a heel
thief.
Move.
Yeah, exactly. It's a heel move, but it's not blatant heel. It's a slow turn character development type move.
Well,
from
he did
Chavo.
When he shook his hand, though, he pulled him back in. So yeah. It's basically it's essentially a almost like a respectful heel. He hasn't completely snapped and attacked him yet.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know that's coming. Exactly.
And then you got Khali, and it looks
and
like they're turning him heel into a monster.
Jinder Mahal.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is with him is that it's Jinder Mahal talking to that. Fucking jackass writer, what's his name?
I don't know. The
great Khali says.
Little brother.
The only thing about the great Khali says is that he's got that written on the back of his jacket. It kind of reminded me of Jimmy Hart, which was made me laugh. But Jinder Mahal is breaking Khali away from whoever the fuck the little guy is.
Basically saying, hey, underneath you, this guy's become a guy who goes in tutus. He's lost his edge. He's not a monster anymore.
That was funny, by the way.
Yeah, it was funny. But you know what? But the point is that Khali's going to side with this new guy and become a monster heel and probably a monster team with him. And that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, no.
And it's, again, it's a slow build. Zeke got out of the core. You want to talk? Mitch, just mention what were your thinking as kind of talk about the locker room angle.
Well, I mean, the locker room angle with Zeke getting out of the core is, I mean, what happened essentially in the match, Zeke versus Big Show, is that Zeke won. And the core raises his hand, and then he puts the hand down. He walks away on his own, and all the other three members of the core are going like, oh, what the fuck? So then they go back to the locker room, and they're saying, we can't have you, this hasn't worked for a while. It's basically, we know we're going to split up. We recognize that we are, in fact, going to break up here, but... and this has been coming for a while, but we can't have people thinking that you are leaving us.
Yeah, exactly.
So then he's saying, look at me. And then what did he say? He said, you better make this look good.
You better make this look good is what Zeke said to Barrett. And then they all beat the shit out of him, which made you wonder if it was a...
If that was something that should have been edited out?
It was a shoot or something. But what's interesting to me is you're kicking him out there mm-hmm. and turning him face. And
he's already faced on the house shows.
Yeah, with Kane. But why is Kane not teaming with his world tag team partner?
Well, because Big Show's on Raw.
Oh, fuck. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That was stupid of me.
Yeah, duh.
But I'm wondering if that's because Skip Sheffield is ready to come back and take the spot as the monster jacked up guy within the group of Cora. It's kind of what I'm hoping. So we'll see.
I'm hoping for bigger things out of Skip.
Well, it's a start, though. You start there and then you go
I guess
there,
so. I guess right? You can start there, yeah. But anyway...
Let's quickly also
SmackDown at
let's quickly do Raw though, because we didn't talk about it here in the last show. Actually,
okay.
It was funny how we didn't.
There
we didn't
was
talk
a match.
About, we didn't talk at all about Raw in the last show because we were so pissed off with the world of wrestling between TNA and WWE and the Christian thing at the time that we're kind of like, you know what? Let's talk about other subjects so we kind of have an upbeat show, because if you're looking for a lot of positive stuff, you certainly won't be getting it when we talk about TNA coming up and.
We'll save the TNA.
We'll save that for another
TNA
day.
TNA and do the next show. Let's wait to TNA. Yeah. Because we want to see on Thursday what happens, we've heard. So we'll wait to see it on Thursday, and then we'll do a show on Thursday. But anyway, let's go to Monday Night Raw. Did you know that it was The Rock's birthday on Monday?
I heard that.
I heard, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point to make on The Rock's birthday, I mean, it largely was The Rock's show. They had that Cena-Miz match, and they had a Mason-Ryan Kane match.
Yeah.
And did they have a tag match, didn't they, with...
Everybody from SmackDown.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a good thing all these
McIntyre,
guys are moved on to
Ray,
Raw.
Yeah,
McIntyre and Swagger against Ray and Kofi with Del Rio on commentary, and I'm sitting there thinking, going, wow, it's a good thing that we mixed up the shits for fresh new matches, but...
Yeah.
The majority of the show was around The Rock and The Rock's half-hour opening segment, talking about the University of Miami, his life, his career. I'm trying to think if anything else really happened, or if he just talked. Well, Pitbull came out and sang the song with the Heat dancer. Oh, Michael Cole did the thing where he interrupted and...
Rock beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, Rock,
yeah,
Rock beat him.
Bottom.
Yeah, give him
yeah,
Rock
so
bottom.
Let's okay. The other good thing that was on that show was the angle between R-Truth and John Morrison. Actually, I think that was the best thing on the show.
Oh, right. Yeah, they came out, they were teasing a match, and R-Truth just beat the shit out of him, right?
Basically,
yeah.
Yeah,
which is good. Furthers the angle. The angle, right?
Exactly.
And Karma. There was a Karma deal where...
Karma. I want to talk about Karma, because she's showing up on both brands.
Well, she comes and goes. She comes and goes.
Karma does... comes around and goes around.
Karma Chameleon, actually.
Yeah.
You come and go.
But she's showing up on both shows.
You come and go.
But she's only attacking heels.
Oh.
So what do you think of that?
Well, that's interesting to me because when you talk about the first, you know, when we talk about Extreme Rules, it made sense. And not because she was a heel or a babyface, but because Michelle McCool was on her way out. And so you leave... with a loss, but you also leave now getting the new monster heel over.
Yeah.
So that, and really it was a situation where Michelle McCool was the number one heel previous to the situation.
Certainly on
right?
SmackDown.
Well, probably the whole
company.
Yeah. Lay Cool was the heel diva act, right?
Yep.
So now they were
doing the Beautiful People better than
the Beautiful
did.
People. He and it, whether it be heel or babyface, they were actually the number one female act.
Yep.
And now you're leaving, so now you're putting over what really at this point is the new number one female act, mm-hmm. right, in Karma. Because
certainly by the crowd reactions, absolutely.
Well, and the way that it's being played out, too. I mean, on TV and pushed and such, this is it. So you had that. That made sense. Fine.
Yeah.
Attack heel. I don't think it really heel or babyface mattered, but now you've got Kelly against Maryse and Karma attack Maryse, who did a great job, by the way, when she was in the bitch clamp. Screaming as she's upside down and she's going down, right? And that was tremendous. Yes, Maryse was screaming as she was going down, but it was great. And then you had Kelly in the corner, and the crowd, the announcers even did a great job, you know, selling the fact that she was just paralyzed by fear.
Yeah.
Right? So she just wasn't a moron.
Yeah.
She was paralyzed by fear, which is why she's just there, and Jerry was going, come on, get out, Kelly, right? And
Monster Heel, man. There's money in that. They're doing a great job with that. Mm. But I just find it very interesting.
We talk about Monster Heel, just a monster. Just because the only people she's attacked thus far, as you said, Maurice and Michelle McCool. So she's only attacked heels. Now, in the house show, she's attacking Eve Torres.
Yeah.
But, I mean, on TV thus far, she's only attacking. But so I don't have a problem with it per se. I just find it interesting.
I think it's interesting.
I'd like to see where it's going.
Make her
so
dangerous that nobody, heel or face, can stand up to her or looks like they can stand up to her until somebody finally does. But also, more than that, I just think the idea that, I'm only attacking heels and then the
Alicia Fox on SmackDown.
Yeah, Alicia Fox. Well, yeah, she's a heel. So she is a heel.
I guess because she fought Layla, right? Layla, but she also attacked Karma first.
She did, yeah.
And that,
from behind, and Karma no sells the kick.
That's right. But that furthers your point in that she's so dangerous that, because then when all the divas on the pay-per-view were watching,
yeah,
right, Alicia Fox was there. Yeah. It wasn't just the baby faces that were watching this paralyzed in fear. It was all divas that are paralyzed
and
fear.
And she's kind of not just a monster heel, but also got a psychotic edge to her. So maybe you'll get it so that the baby faces think that they are safe, mm-hmm. and then she turns and beats the shit up out of them, right? So there's a lot of ways you can go with it. I like that angle. Something I didn't like was I didn't think they did enough with Rock and Cena together, but I guess you did. What do you think of that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that I would have – I kind of understand. I understand why they did it backstage because they didn't want to do the whole heel face in Miami. They didn't want Cena to get the heel reaction because he's got to be the baby face that continues on and carries the company in their mind, whether you agree with it or not. But backstage, he showed up at the birthday party with the belt, held the belt up right in between them. Good camera shot there.
Yep.
Said, this is the birthday party, the birthday present that I've given to you, is that I'm the champion, I'm going to hold on to this, and so the biggest match in WrestleMania history is going to be even bigger now.
If you want this, you have to go through me.
Well, it's going to be even bigger now because it's going to be for the title.
Yeah.
And that's the present that I've given you, is that it's an even bigger match. You want this, you got to go through me. Rock says, just bring it, very nicely. Not in a cartoony rockism kind of way, just brilliant.
No,
they stared at each other, and then Cena turned around and went his separate ways. And I think for a match that is 11 months away,
mm-hmm.
that's fine.
I suppose. And they're going to be trying to continue the feud through Twitter back and forth. But I just kind of think that and the ratings bore this out. You had Vince McMahon come out at the end and he's putting over The Rock and how great The Rock is. And you didn't have enough tension with The Rock and with you could have had tension with The Rock still with The Miz. You could have had tension with The Rock and Cena. You could have done something. I think the ratings were so poor for this show where they were expected to be so high proves to me that it's a missed opportunity. You don't have that many opportunities with The Rock. And to me, you didn't do enough to hammer it home that this is coming and it's going to be epic.
Wow.
Because it was just such it was a moment that a lot of people could be switching the channel away from, frankly.
Well, the ratings flatlined and they were but they were up against a lot stronger competition in terms of the NBA there. And you talk about missed opportunity. Again,
I've seen them have
if
big
this was
if
February.
Watch,
well, okay, what would
watch,
you have
no.
done? What
okay,
would you have
but,
done that was so much better than talking about missed opportunity? Have a
okay,
solution.
Well,
what would you have done?
Okay,
what would
well,
have drawn
the
ratings?
When you say they're up against tougher competition, I've seen them have big ratings going against NFL.
Yes.
If the angle is good and people are interested, they're going to tune
if
in.
If the product is hot, but I don't think anybody around now is going to argue with you that the WWF is the hottest thing on television.
Okay, we're going to get to that in a moment.
Yeah, we'll get there later. But yeah, I'm just saying.
I think you would have been better off just having a segment at the end where it's a Cena and The Rock, and The Rock's going, Rock's going, you know, just a bigger moment.
Yeah.
Just
nobody else, no more people would have watched.
I disagree.
No, I completely think that the rating was going to be what the rating was going to be because ratings in wrestling aren't so much anymore because there is no Monday Night War. Back in the Monday Night War days, you had people flipping back and forth to see because they were wrestling fans that were flipping back and forth to see what was interesting in fucking wrestling. Nobody's fucking flipping between whatever the fuck is on TNT, Law and Order, and Raw to say, well, let's see what Law and Order does next segment. And if I, and then I'll watch it, and if I like it, I'll continue to watch Law and Order. And if John Cena and The Rock is on, I'm going to flip back. Nobody does that.
If you're, if what you're saying is true, then you would never, ever see ratings change from segment to segment, and they do. So there's, I mean,
well, there is,
you have a point. I'm not
there are channel flippers.
But you're just,
are channel flippers. Yes, there are. But I don't know that Rock and John, again, also being 11 months away and the fact that we're spacing this out, and you talk about shit with Rock should have some tension with The Miz. No. Rock is here over the next year to fight John Cena, and that is it.
Okay. All right, let's talk about two other things real quick. Number one, I just want to get your comment. I'm going to tell you some interesting news I bet you're going to enjoy. There's a man who was in...
Vader?
No, not the man.
Oh.
There's a man in...
there's a guy.
He was running for... There's a guy. He was running for...
I don't know if you heard about him.
He's running for political office.
He's from England. Not that you told that against him, but...
He's running for political office.
Really?
His name was Hunter Helmsley. He lost, but I just wanted to get your... Hunter Helmsley lost.
No.
Did the job.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, no, it actually happened.
No.
I think that's kind of funny.
Really?
But, yeah.
Did he lose to a woman named Stephanie?
Yeah, that would be even better.
That would be even better.
Or a man named Jeff. But anyways,
or a man called Sting.
Yeah. Okay. Miz and Cena looks like this Over the Limit.
Right.
In Seattle, is going to be an I Quit match as the main event.
Yep.
What do you think of that?
Well, I think that's appropriate because I quit watching John Cena versus Miz matches about a month ago.
Yeah, no shit.
So that really, I thought that actually was the reason for the stipulation.
Yeah.
Is that I actually quit. That is what I call, when they talk about the Over the Limit promotional campaign, I actually have come down watching Miz and John Cena with a condition called LOE. Lack of entertainment.
Plays off the commercial that they had.
The commercial. Doesn't it? You get that? Yeah? You see that when I just said that? You fucking moron? Come on.
Yeah. No, plays off the commercial.
Well, we didn't talk about the commercial on the post-Extreme Rules. I don't know how we forgot about this, actually, quite frankly.
It was boring.
But, well, it was. It was boring, but it was a bunch of people, and it just sounds like a medical commercial, right? You know, are you tired of da-da-da and wanting to watch things as a family but can't? And it's just a family sitting around boring. It really did harken back to the days of the old In Your House commercials, and I was actually waiting for Mr. Bob Backlund and the Smoking Guns to show up in it. But
I would have popped for that more than I did for anything on the show.
The goal of the thing is to say that they're the cure for lack of entertainment.
Yeah.
Which is just hilarious to me.
Well, again, and this is when we're seeing Miz and Cena again. You just in this day and age, you can't put the same show matches on month after month after month. We've seen that this is not a strong business unless you get that feud, which is so special. But I mean, it's just long since we've had that. You know, this is just not good business practice. Okay, you have something on there about Owen Hart you wanted to mention, so let's hit that.
Well, let's do some.
Let's go about another 12 minutes here or so.
Well, sure. Yeah, I want to mention two things actually, because we talked about it last show, and I just want to kind of follow up, and I'd like to hit some sort of I said it is sad, tragic Owen Hart, but we'll touch that in just a second. But because I want to put some smiles on people's faces,
yeah,
like Fit Finley does, right? A lighthearted look back, but there's a sad part.
Places. Fucking put smiles.
He fucking does, doesn't he?
He fucking does.
I really did want to hit one quick sad note that to follow up on something we talked about last Thursday is a story of Diana Hall, Scott Hall's ex-wife, trying to get him help, telling him, you know, you really need to get help. Essentially, the story goes is she tried to get him help. He spit on her and then went into a rampage against the EMTs. And it's really sad. And we just, I mean, it doesn't sound again like he's willing at this point to get help. And you know, the old story is you can only help those who want to help themselves.
Yeah.
And Scott Hall, from the sounds of it, doesn't want to help himself. So that's just a sad note to follow
he's
up.
Going
and
through,
just,
I mean, I.
We talked about Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and that's the best.
Leaving Las Vegas.
I talked about Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas because I got it mixed up.
It is the best thing, and you know, I'm not going to sit here and say I think Scott Hall's a prize of a human being, but I also think that it's you don't want to see this kind of end for anybody, and as a human being, you hope everybody meets their potential and they still can, even if they haven't in the past.
And well, hopefully he wakes up and comes to his senses, is what it is, because he really does need to come to his senses, and hopefully he does, because we don't want to see
there's people that care about him, there's people that, you know, the family, there's friends, and yeah, it's sad to have it's like you and I, we've joked once a few years ago saying, oh, Jesus, in wrestling, we should just have a Deadpool, that'd be easy. But the truth is, we would never do such a thing, because it's so morbid. And
I don't know anybody that would.
Yeah, it's just so, you know.
It is. It's morbid. It's inappropriate.
You're watching this guy.
It's human beings, for God's sake.
It's tough to have a death.
Right?
There's a death watch on, and
it's human. It really is. It's human beings, for God's sakes, and it's human beings. Not only just like. You know, any Joe Blow that you'd walk across the street and not even know, but these are people that entertain us and give us, you know, a reason to have a show like this, you know, Razor Ramon Chico. And you know, and the fact is that he's coming to hard times, he has some problems. We hope, again, that he comes to his senses and gets better, but doesn't sound like he is, and unfortunately just a sad topic to bring up, but something I did want to mention. And yeah, so let's talk about Owen Hart.
Actually, you know what, I just want to say, while we're doing this and we're talking about, I'm sorry to cut you off, I just thought about this. I just want to say, I'm not sure if anybody out there knows the name, but in case they don't, or even if they do, just worship the Ram, Carl Steffi. We're wishing you well here for this show, and hope everything is
Rammy.
Hope everything is great
on the Figure Four Wrestling Observer board. We do, yeah, Rami. We really do want to send out our thoughts and prayers to you and your entire family. Know that the family itself is suffered. Some hardship with an uncle as well passing away. So it just, you know, hopefully, you know, to the whole family, really including Rami, you know, get well. Just, you know, please.
Wrestling world is a small
God. We're getting morbid on this show.
You know, it's not just the wrestlers. The world, the wrestling world, and the fans and the community. People listen to our show, other shows, read these boards. They are. It's a small community, but it's surprisingly tight knit, and there's a lot of good people out there. So.
It is, and it just, I want to bring up because again, I mean, now we're, as I said, we're it's turned into a morbid show. So I promise people, we will get a little better here. But yesterday, May 7th, would have been the 49th birthday of Owen Hart, tragically passing away from the accident in Kemper Arena in Kansas City in 1999.
At what age?
He was 34. He was 34 when he passed away. So, personal note, for me, I assume birthday is Owen Hart. I'm just turning 34, so that's just your sort of the slap in the face for me with everything that's happened. But maybe, Mo, just, you know, let's a little lighter side. Please, your favorite Owen Hart match and favorite Owen Hart memory.
My favorite Owen Hart match is WrestleMania 10. I mean,
yes.
it's such a good
really
match.
It really was.
To tell you the truth, at the time that it happened, I probably enjoyed their SummerSlam match with Owen and Bret more, but now looking back, the cage, and that was still great. But yeah, I mean, my favorite and honorable mention to the European finals match with
in Germany,
with Davey Boy
sitting at that bar. Only people that ever used to go to that bar, and so we always used to get the TV on Raw. Yeah,
and the bartender into
a wrestling
fan.
Watch
this shit. Next thing we knew, he's watching. He couldn't stop because it was
2 weeks after, three weeks after we started going there, he became
Kenny
a fan.
Metals.
Right? Yeah,
that's right. So you know, I mean, that's it. You know, I mean, when you hear a lot of the stuff about Owen, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I remember when he came out and he did color commentary because he had an injury. Remember, he had the cast for a while, right?
For the King of the Ring 96?
Yeah.
And then Austin 316 was born.
Yeah, yeah. And he's doing the color commentary. He was so goddamn funny that night. I mean...
Oh, just entertaining as all fuck. I mean, really.
Just awesome, you know. But also a lot of good psychology. I remember him watching a match between Ahmed Johnson and Goldust. And he's sitting there. And I think at the time, everybody was expecting Ahmed was getting this huge push to blow right through him. And he wasn't. And Owen Hart's going, well, no. What he's doing is he's riding on his back. And the guy has a lot of these muscles. But it takes more oxygen to carry. It takes more oxygen to carry all that muscle, and therefore you'll fatigue faster. And so he was giving. Mm-hmm. He was really entertaining and really funny, and making all these funny jokes. But at the same time, was also managing to give some psychology, and he was just fantastic. So that was one of my favorites. Also, when I first watched Owen here in Stampede Wrestling,
yeah, I guess
we saw how good he was. He was doing all these flips and Muck and Sing and Bad News Allen and all this stuff, and he was doing all these flips and Strangler Steve DeSalvo and
DeSalvo, yes,
and all this stuff and the Angel of Death, and you know, he was so amazing, and you knew right away Dave he had Shelton. Something special. He sparked the crowd, he sparked attendance here, and then he got voted Rookie of the Year in taking on Jason the Terrible and PWI, yeah, and there was a lot of pride seeing this local Calgary kid get that magazine award at the time, but also when I think of my favorite Owen things, I just love hearing the stories, the ribs that all the wrestlers tell about over the years.
Some of
them are just hilarious.
I agree. I mean, the matches, those two matches for me are the ones that stand up. WrestleMania 10, if I had to pick one, was the one because it was also
anytime.
Well, it stands up, but the other part of it is that it was just so beautiful in that Owen won.
Yeah.
And Brett won the title that night. So the story at the end was Owen standing in the aisleway going, how the fuck does this work? Because, I didn't say that, but that's the look on his face. He's going, I fucking beat you in the opener and you're fucking with the championship belt now? Like, Jesus. And that's the look on his face. And it really, the reality was, who is Owen Hart? Owen was the, with the new foundation and high energy, and really was just starting to get these pushes with turning on Brett. So, but Bret Hart was, a multiple time champion.
He's a superstar.
I don't know that this might have been his second WWF title win, but but he's a former champion. He's a former, two time Intercontinental, two time tag champ, right? King of the Ring.
Yeah.
Who is Owen Hart? And he wins.
Yeah, exactly.
And the little goober on his lip there too, when he's cutting his promo after the match. I never forget that he's got this big goober on there. I'm like,
but I'll never forget two nights before Mania on a Friday night. There we had a television show here on Channel 7. It was called Sports at 11:30.
Oh, Sports at 11.
And what it did was it showed sports at 11:30.
AM or PM, though?
PM.
Like, come on, paint a picture here.
So anyways, but it was a really good local sports show, and they had an interview with Owen Hart about 15 minutes into it, like 2 days before.
That's right.
And he was sitting there and talking about how he's going to beat Owen. Brett, and I'm not sure if it was working or if it was just the announcer was an idiot, a mark, but the announcer's sitting there going, come on, you can't beat Brett. I mean, the whole most you could do is have a really good match against him, and Owen just had this conviction and looks straight at him and goes, I'm going to face Brett Hart at WrestleMania, and I'm going to beat him, and I'm going to show I'm the best Hart there is.
Was that Mike Toth, or was that the other guy, what's his name?
It was the other Mike.
Oh, Mike...
Maybe it was Grant Pollock. I don't know.
No. It wasn't Grant Pollock. It was Mike, and then what was the other fucking guy? Mr. Ski.
Mike Landsberg. No? Mike Landsborough?
No. Landsborough. My girl is red hot. Your girl, like, doodly squat. He had a band. It was great.
Yeah, it was.
We have a CD. Jeff
has
a CD.
You know what? We only got a couple minutes left.
Yes.
He got this great promo, and nobody saw it here except for these few people watching it. But it was such conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where
no
I went.
Internet.
And that's kind of where I went, hold on, he might win. And I think he's going to have a great career in the WWE. So
yeah, no, I just remember him winning. What the fuck? Holy shit! And then of course Brett wins the title, and then boom, there you go. And then he wins King of the Ring and go on.
Can
from
you think
there.
Of any of his ribs he ever pulled that made you laugh the most?
Well, you hear those things, just whenever he'd Bret Hart's Hall of Fame induction. If you haven't heard that, just go and listen
so
to that
funny.
Because there's some just Owen. Ribs there that he talks about with, Hacksaw, pulling shit on Hacksaw Jim Duggan saying,
yeah.
Kick your ass and Hacksaw getting all pissy and him getting, Stu riled up. Pretending to be
somebody who's saying
somebody
he kicked
who
Stu's ass.
And he's going, damn Owen, he got me again.
Yeah.
Shit like that. I mean, I just, to me, Owen matches their own memory is when he becomes a two-time Slammy Award winning.
So funny. Because
he
so
was supposed to present, and he's like, I did it again.
And then he comes out the next night with this trunk saying two Slammy.
Yes.
You, and runs in front of the Davey Boy, who
and Davey Boy's smiling because
Davey Boy's just, or how about all the times
you talk about,
how about all the things in the ring where he would just, you watched a match where he was wrestling, was he being hit with a pillow or something like that? Was it Europe or something like that you saw on YouTube?
Well, no, there was one where him against Mankind, where he used cotton candy as their Jimmy Corderas was telling
he would just do these ribs in the ring in front of everybody to make the boys laugh.
On a show called Aftermath that we get here after Raw replay on Tuesday, we get Raw Monday, and then we get a replay on Score, and then on Friday after SmackDown, Jimmy Corderas told a story about him reffing a match. It was actually in Edge and Christian, so they were talking about Edge moments rather, but Edge and Christian against Jeff Jarrett and Owen Hart, where Owen Hart used a napkin as a foreign object. And they were doing double clotheslines, I guess, with the napkin and their stuff. And then, of course,
spark.
He puts it under his armpit, and Jimmy Corderas has to check it, and he raises his arms. So Owen raises his arms, and this napkin comes just floating out of his armpit and falling to the ground. What are you going to do, disqualify him for a napkin?
Awesome.
Just tremendous. But two of my favorite, and they're kind of tied in, is when he won the Slammy. He's a Bulldog because he had the European title and the tag title with Owen.
He made Bulldog
You may have
so
two
much.
Titles, but you don't have two Slammies. But then the next night, because they were teasing dissension between the Bulldog and Owen, and for a purpose, not like TNA, but against Mankind and Vader. And Jim Ross, who wasn't a commentator doing commentary at that show, he came and did interview in the aisleway, and he's just trying to stir. He's like, you're just trying to stir things up between me and Bulldog. And finally, Jim Ross just finally has enough of pipes up. He goes, well, who's the leader? I'm the leader. Leave us alone. And they just go.
So great.
It was just such a... Because the look on Bulldog's face, just this look of kind of shock and then acceptance immediately. Like, what? Oh, okay. And
well, just Bulldog laughed, right? All the time, he was doing this stuff to try and tease tension, but really to make Bulldog laugh.
Oh.
You'd see when the two of them were together, he'd always be turning his head and just smiling and laughing. And of course, Mick Foley's books has a lot of great ribs that Owen used to pull and...
Yeah,
all those books back then. So Owen was just a spark. He was special. He's still missed. I think about him all the time. So
just one of those things. Is one of those things.
You want to go? I had one more subject that's kind of related to all this, and we can't hit it on another show. Do you want to hit it on this one?
If it's related to Owen Hart, I will talk.
It's not
about
related
anything.
To Owen Hart, but it is related to the WWE, which we've been talking about a lot here, and something we talked about earlier.
Yeah, so, yeah. No, let's.
You want to go?
Yeah,
all right,
sure,
folks. Long show today, but a lot of shit to talk about.
Yeah, it's been a good week for some wrestling opinions, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, let's just do this. There was you had talked, I believe it was the conference call that you had watched, was it not?
I watched
last show?
Last show, it's a shareholders meeting, and after the shareholders meeting, subsequent to the shareholders meeting, as it were, they had their first quarter actual earnings conference call. Yeah. So this is a little different.
There was a couple things that was mentioned in here. Three things. Number one, Vince McMahon in this, there's three things of bullshit, basically, I'm going to say.
No, there's way more than three, but three that you're going
to
highlight.
Three things that highlighted to me that I thought just amazing. Number one, that Vince McMahon said that right now the storylines are connecting better than any storylines in WWE history ever have.
Well, of course.
Your opinion.
Well, that's clearly true.
Yeah.
It's clearly true. I mean...
As evidenced by the 82,000 people that bought Extreme Rules.
Well, exactly, right? There are less people that ordered Extreme Rules that they claim were at the Pontiac Silverdome.
Yeah.
You know, so let's throw that in perspective, and probably just as many people that were actually in the Pontiac Silverdome that bought the pay-per-view across the fucking country. Yep. So, you know, and yeah, the storylines are clicking. Well, yeah, I'll wait and see. But I will say, in terms of storylines clicking, they do have the potential for, in hindsight, Vince maybe not to be... I want to say Vince not to be a liar, because Vince will always be a liar.
Yeah.
But for that statement to maybe hold a little water, let's put it that way, and that has to be with we've got Cena and Rock already announced for WrestleMania 29, so that we know, and we'll let the past judge it when it's the past.
And when the draft comes, a lot of the reason people are drafted is because the writers are thinking to themselves, I have an idea for that guy. I want to get him on my brand. So there is that. That's true. That is true.
That's why they did the draft.
But the writers do have a lot of input into who gets drafted to them, thinking, I have an idea for that guy or a way I can use that guy.
The problem is that the majority of the writers are fucks. So don't even say, well, the writers think.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Honestly, at this particular point in time, and again, we let history judge us. And Michael Hayes is the only writer currently employed with them that I have any faith with.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, when outside of Vince McMahon, who is hit or miss, right? You know,
at this stage of his career, I think.
I don't think so. But we'll talk about that at a different show. Because that's a bigger topic.
Yeah, that's
but you talk about what I'm saying there, though, is when he's saying storylines coming, we're talking about Cena and Rock WrestleMania. Undertaker is retired, essentially. The company is considering him retired outside of his WrestleMania match. They expect him next year at WrestleMania. So
that's basically going to be his last match.
Against Hunter again, probably.
Most likely.
Because they did that. So you've got that to go. If they are going to do a slow, and again, we're going to wait and see here, but I would like to see them do a slow Christian Randy Orton deal for Mania. And if that's the plan, if this is what's catching on, and as I said, we don't know either way, I said that earlier, but if that's the way it's going to go, then Vince may not be full of bullshit on that particular statement.
Well, he is, because here's...
Well, I guess he's saying clicking already, though, isn't he?
Well, number one, he's saying this clicking already. Number two, you're saying clicking better than any storylines in history.
Yes.
So those two things make it. It's one thing to say we have some storylines we're really excited
about.
We think the fans are going to get absolutely behind this.
Wait a minute. When he says the storyline's working, and then he used the word click.
I believe so.
The storylines are working as good as when the click was around. So he may be true.
Well, that's it, though. Again, you come out there and you're talking to your investors. Don't bullshit them. You can have
part, isn't it?
You know what? Those are the people you want to. You can have a positive spin. You can say we have some storylines that we think are really going to take off. Wait till you see where we go in these next few months.
Well, he's already done that, though. That's the problem. He did that when Nexus was
better.
Around.
Okay, let's talk about this. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next subject from it.
Hit it.
Okay.
Pretend you're your mom and hit it.
We have absolutely the no bullshit here at all. Are you talking about, or are we talking about a lot of bullshit? Because wait till you hear the bullshit in this next segment.
Okay.
He actually ups the bullshit level when he says they've been more successful at elevating a superstars this past year than any previous time.
Mm-hmm.
Look at The Miz, who was a prelim wrestler 1 year ago, and Alberto Del Rio, who wasn't even in the company.
Okay, I got two words for you. Just to show how right Vince is.
Yeah.
Okay, because, no, seriously, David Otunga.
Oh, yeah.
Household name.
Household name. Randy Orton's not a
fucking... 60 minutes.
John Cena's not a household name.
David Otunga.
John Cena's not a household name.
He's not. He's the most householdish.
Yeah, but he's not a household name.
But, I mean, he's their big guy, but, I mean, you look at their number two
guy. Actually, I'd say Triple H is more of a household name than John Cena still.
Well, yeah, I would, too. But, yeah, probably would, too. And Randy Orton, fuck, ain't even on the map.
Ain't on the map.
Oh.
Rey Mysterio's probably ahead of him.
Probably.
When you say this, again, say we've elevated a couple of new stars this year. We've hopefully learned some lessons from that. I think we have a lot of upcoming great talent that we can continue to elevate this year and have new superstars to propel our company forward. That's fine. Say that. Don't say we're so successful. Look at The Miz and look at Del Rio. Del Rio was the right act at the right time. The Miz got himself over. You, meanwhile, have attempted to elevate Wade Barrett. Where the fuck is he compared to where he was 6 months ago?
Yes.
Like, well, Sheamus, where's Sheamus compared to 1 year ago?
Well, that's a shameful thing.
Absolutely. Like, these fucking... Fuck you, Vince!
Well, the thing when you look at it is okay, let's sit there and sit back and wonder what was the... And you might have to help me out here because I do drink a lot, but what was the main event of WrestleMania 27?
Main event of WrestleMania 27?
27.
Which one was 27? 1 year ago?
Yeah, a year ago. Well, a year and a bit ago.
Wasn't that Undertaker and Shawn Michaels?
Yeah, that was the last match, and then you had Bret Hart and you had Vince. Yeah. And what was the title match, the other title match? What was involved with that? Was that Cena and...
Well, you had Edge versus Jericho.
Oh, yeah, okay. Edge versus Jericho was one of them, and then Cena...
And Who was
Cena? Hunter? I don't know.
No, who was Cena facing? That's holy shit.
Yeah, they're great. Anyway, so that's part of my point. The other part of my point is that the people that we just that we just fucking remembered were Bret Hart, Vince McMahon, Shawn Michaels, Undertaker. They're all gone. And Edge, Jericho, gone. All gone, right?
Yeah.
So the thing that he fought Batista. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. Gone.
Yeah, speaking of gone. So now what they're looking at, and that's and then we're just fast forward a year later, and okay, let's just say, let's just be devil's advocate and say they did Alberto Del Rio and they did Miz. And they are top stars now, and it's all because of them.
Yeah.
How many people did I just mention? What, seven people that I just mentioned? And you're throwing Alberto Del fucking Rio and Miz out there. Okay? To replace seven guys.
Yeah.
That does not compute. Right?
And I'm sorry, Miz as a draw, maybe you like him as a champion, but Miz as a draw is not, I mean, he's not there.
But Miz will be a guy that at least short term, though, has a job for a while because they're promoting Miz as a PR guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Miz is a guy that can go out and give the interview, and he is very good at that.
Yep.
And actually, from what I believe it was Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer, from what I was reading, to give proper credit, that he was saying that WWE was actually reassuring some people, I don't remember who, but reassuring some partners that Miz is going to be featured going forward. So rest assured, this guy is going to be prominent position for to be able to do interviews and
shit
for you.
I think he should be upper mid card for sure, and he should be.
I think he should be main event.
Okay, well, okay.
Who the fuck else do they have? You talking about upper mid card?
And meanwhile, like I say, you look at how many people, back at the Legion of Doom. You look at how many people they are not in as strong a place as a year ago. I don't think Morrison's is stronger than he was a year ago.
We talked about Wade Barrett already.
Wade Barrett, Sheamus, you know.
Daniel Bryan.
And other than that, new stars.
Skip Sheffield.
You know, Alberto Del Rio is the only one who's a new star who debuted.
Gold Dust.
So you haven't. Where's Brody's Clay?
Tony Schiavone.
Is Brody's Clay about to emerge?
Wait, just a sec, because we didn't have this written down, but I just want to mention one thing, because I listened to a house show. I read about a house show yesterday. Brody's Clay.
Yeah.
Versus fought Trent Beretta on a house show.
Yeah.
Trent Beretta goes over.
Well, you know what? The faces.
Zack Ryder fights Chris Masters at a house show. Chris Masters goes over.
Well, yeah, but you know what? I'll say this. It's a house show, and house show faces go over, so that doesn't mean anything.
I guess.
It's a house show faces
go over. I guess.
Okay, and the last thing from this investors conference, they said that a year ago business was down because Cena had been hurt. Triple H and Undertaker were essentially gone. Shawn Michaels had left. Batista. But this year they're saying that Edge has hurt, but that's not going to affect business at all. What do you think of that statement? With Edge, they're saying Edge leaving doesn't affect business at all.
Yeah, no, I've been driving around town with the girl I love, and I say, fuck you, is what I say to that. No, I heard that. In context, it sounds like, you know what, if I'm Edge and I'm reading it, you know, maybe I say, you know what, fuck you. In reality, though, and I think Edge, Adam Copeland, is smart enough to see this for what it actually is, and that's just, you know what, he's hurt, but it's not going to affect us because we've all got all these guys going forward.
Well, that's the thing is
right?
If
it's again, we talked about politics on the last show and a spin. That's all that is. That's a corporate spin.
Don't worry about this guy.
No, but okay, so yeah, exactly, because what you're saying is, yeah, okay, we had Hunter and Shawn and Taker and Batista and Jericho. They all left, and that really hurt us last year, and it's reflected in the earnings. But I know we had Edge leave, but don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. We got shit, man. We got this shit. The storylines are clicking better than they ever have in fucking history, man. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I know all these guys. That hurt us. That's the reason that the numbers were low. But isn't someone else hurt? Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. It's fine. Fuck. We're clicking. Clicking. We're winning.
Winning.
Like, that's all that... That is that's just there's no, it's a spin. I mean, you could read that and you could see that and you could say, so okay, so you think a lot about Edge, you fuckers, don't you? No, that's just a corporate BS spin.
It is, but the thing is, again, it comes down to the same thing. How much bullshit are you going to spin at your investors?
Well, he's a
thing,
lot.
No, wait a second. It's one thing for you to say, you know what? If you have Jericho, you have Shawn Michaels, you have Triple H, you have Undertaker, you have all those guys to lose Edge, you go, you know what, it's not that big a deal. But to do this, then you go, you know what, why don't you, again, just spin it the right way, still spin it in a positive way, just simply say, you know what, we have a roster depth issue right now because we've had a lot of injuries and this adds to it, and it's highlighted because we've had so many previous roster positions leave. But what it does is open a door, an opportunity for some of these great new superstars.
Like Christian.
To step up and become main event players, and the next Rocker Austin, we believe, is in this group. Just say it that way. It's not hard. Fuck it. It's not. That's the thing that pisses me off. It's not hard.
No,
you can bullshit in a way that's not
for that.
But anyways, I think we should just about... I just want to say this, going out, that a chicken and an egg, they're lying together in bed, right? So
okay.
This chicken and egg are the line. And the chicken's got, like, he's smoking a cigarette. He's got this huge smile, right?
A chicken smoking a cigarette?
Yeah, chicken smoking a cigarette, like Randy Orton.
Huh.
And he's sitting there smoking the cigarette, you know.
Did he get a couple?
Smiling. Yeah, he got a couple.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And then the egg is just sitting there in bed, and he's just mumbling to himself, and he's all pissed off. And he turns to the chicken and goes, well, I guess we answered that question.
Which one?
You know, there's an 8-year-old debate about a chicken and an egg. That's
oh,
the question. Chicken and egg, which one? Like, the chicken and the egg, they had sex, right? That's the point. They're fucking, okay? But one of them was happy and one of them isn't. That's because one of them
came. So wouldn't the egg first. Come out of the chicken, though?
Is that okay, forget that joke here. Okay, wait. What's the difference between a blonde and a mosquito? When you slap a mosquito, it stops sucking. Huh?
What?
O-U-T?
What's happened? So what?
We're done now.
So wrestling doesn't suck. What are you talking about? I'm just
mosquito
trying to...
on a blonde? Yeah, it just, okay, so a blonde and a brunette, they're walking down the street, right? So, okay, you got the blonde, they pass the flower shop, and the blonde says, oh, we're pretty flowers. And
in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.